Good evening once again, everyone. And this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Mr. Gordon, KY6B. My name is Kathy, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. Our location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 66 degrees. We had a high of 71, and it's going to be a low of 62. And actually, by Monday, I believe we're going to be about 87. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week? And you know that includes last week. So do we have any birthday stations that would like to come aboard so we can say happy birthday to them?
Good evening, Kathy. Here is Doug, November 6th, November Foxtrot, Foxtrot. My birthday was this past Saturday, the 15th. Back to you from N6NFF.
Well, Doug, we have two Dougs this evening. We have Florida Doug, GYF, and we have NFF Doug, both celebrating the birthday, I believe, on November the 15th. So happy birthday to each and every one of you. And thanks for being here this evening, and we hope that you'll have a lot of fun. You know, this is the monthly Thursday monthly informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And we hope that you have a lot of fun. So if you're all set to go, Mr. Gordon, I'm going to throw it your direction. I'm really looking forward to this session. I know a lot about computers, but probably could learn a lot more. And you're always there to help all of us. So give us some information this evening. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the net is now yours.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. You know, you always put some sunshine into a net when you open it up and run it and so on. So thank you for that. Good evening, one and all. Gordon here, KY6V for South Cars. Tonight's program, we'll be talking about the basics when using and understanding a computer, so I hope we have some fun with that. We will be starting by discussing what's inside a computer frame and what segments do what to make everything happen. And we'll be talking about the computer concept and what three major steps it provides in its operation. We'll also be talking about what you should do on a regular base to keep your computer running at a maximum speed and efficiency. We have with us this evening Jim, KV4QI. Hi, Jim. Thanks for being my backup here on short notice, sir. We have Daryl, I see, has checked the board. Good evening to you, Mr. Newfoundland. That's VO1UKZ. Comes to us with a lot of computer expertise. He's in the business professionally, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to say on some of these subjects as we go through them this evening. I also see that we've got Doug down in Fort Myers, who is an old computer expertise type guy. Good evening to you, Doug, and that's KA0GYF. And we have Steve out there in Louisiana, who's an experts expert. So we've got a lot of talent out here tonight to talk about. Let me buy a nickel for a second. Let's start with the basics. The computer is an informational transfer agent. Now, isn't that a $25 statement? It takes a request in from you via the keyboard, the mouse, or whatever process, processes that request, and, you know, it outputs this operation to the likes of a screen monitor or a printer, or transfers the information to the internet, and on it goes. So it's a powerful, speedy machine that is acting, I guess, at your command. Let's look at this in a slightly different perspective. I wrote a book back in 2004 called Back to Basics, and one of the chapters touched on computers and digital communication. So allow me to give you a short excerpt of that chapter and get things started. Started out by saying, in the beginning, so it came to pass that nothing happened. Was this because we were running on all zero state? Have you ever stopped to think that you can simulate the digital process by simply turning your light switch on and off? The digital world consists of zeros and ones, or highs and lows, or ons and offs. If you had the ability to turn a single pole, single throat toggle switch on and off at the speed of light, you would have the fastest computer in the world. Buying a nickel for reset? The article went on to say mathematics and ASCII 2, I'm not sure who fell out of bed, hit their head, and came up with this, but boy, it's neat. You think of Morse code as a language of dots and dashes. This is a language of zeros and ones. The concept is built around the mathematical progression of binary and hexadecimal numbers. Binary base is 2, while hexadecimal is based on 16. And since this is a system of numbers and computers only handle numbers digitally, an ASCII 2 coding format evolved. And as an example, it is universally agreed that a numeric 101 equals an A, and a numeric 102 equals a B, and so on through the alphabet. Numbers are also assigned to such functions as print, carriage return, and the like. The digital industry has created, in my humble opinion, their own dictionary, and for the most part, well done. But I will say that I have problems with the gross amount of acronyms that fly by on a daily basis. When a person says, how's your ATR? Alpha Tango Roma. How's your ATR? I say, what? What he is really asking is, how is your automatic terminal recognition? Einstein was asked one day for his telephone number, and he said, I don't know the number. He further stated that he purposely refused to waste space in his mind for things that could be looked up as needed, you know, like the telephone book. So, there's a lot of nomenclature here we can go through, and maybe we'll touch on through the evening. You know, there's a lot of words that you hear all the time. Bits, bytes, kilobytes, kilobits, megabytes, megabits, digital word, throughput, packets, blah, 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 blah. All right, before I go any further, I'm going to open it up here. I don't know how much time Doug has, but I understood as I walked back into the room, you were talking with Kathy, Doug, and you were saying something that you wanted to talk about, retrieval-type floppies or CDs or something when you really get burnt. Any rate, would you like to come aboard and say hi, and how's everything in Fort Myers, and December 2nd's coming awfully close now. Is that when you're going to start moving, or is that when you close? KY6V to Fort Myers.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of questions there, Mr. KY6V. December 2nd, I can start making a plan. Moving old is going to take time, especially at my age. I've had a lot of fun. I've had a real fun computer week, even though it was challenging. When a primary or secondary computer goes belly up, you know, that's tough rebuilding them, you know, the time spent. But my real interesting story is about someone that brought me a computer that had ransomware on it. Ransomware, you know, where you're supposed to call in with your credit card and they'll unlock your computer for $100. Only they want $300. I'll tell you all about it when the time comes. I'll listen out here when my turn comes up. KA0GYF. Thanks, Gordon. Hello, everybody.
Ransomware, huh? I'd love to stand by to hear that story. Thanks, Doug. Okay, on December 2nd. He's moving from one portal to another down there in Fort Myers, everybody. And is not very far away, so he's going to put his wife's piano on a dolly and just push it over to the new house. And make it easy. And incidentally, she's going to play that thing while it's being pushed. I sure hope he's got his video camera out. All right, anybody else like to check in? At least say hello. And then we'll continue into the program. Do you have any particular questions for the experts on hand? KY6V for South Cars, call now.
Why?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I also want to put LVQ on alert here. I see that he's connected. Good evening, Mr. Scotland. And, you know, it's got to be somewhere around after midnight, I guess, over there. So I'm going to pick you up after Jim here and so that you can go to bed and be ready to go again in the morning. Mr. Georgia, QY. Go ahead, sir, and thanks for being here tonight, Jim.
Yes, sir. Good evening. KB4QY. XO1880. Now then. And, well, that's going to be interesting. Moving while playing the piano. Well, I got rambunctious once upon a time. I think that's what you call it, rambunctious. Although, we called it drunk, I think. But anyway, we had to take a piano from way out at West End, west side of it, whatever. Way out to the east side of it, whatever. All that cross town. So we just loaded the whole gang up on a 2-ton state body truck. And we put a 6-piece band back there in the back and played all the way out there. And we had a humongous line of traffic when we got to Stone Mountain, where we were going. We got there, we had a humongous line of traffic. Oh, me. But anyway, good evening to everyone. And I don't know about on these computer things. I think maybe I know something about them every now and then. But I suddenly just discovered that I didn't know nothing. So... this basic 101 ought to be real good to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can just see you pounding the ivory and marching through the streets up there. I think that's gorgeous. Hey, thanks, Jim. We got some information from Gary today. That's RMO up in Syracuse. He was supposed to be part of the program and also... official backup that he had something else that had to be done. So I guess it was, what, maybe 4 o'clock this afternoon or something like that, Jim, that I got a hold of Jim and said, hey, would you? And he said, sure. So he's the official shotgun rider here this evening. MM3LVQ. Before you fall asleep on me, I want to hear from you. Go ahead, Robert, over. I wasn't quick enough. He fell asleep. Mike Zero, Lima Victor, Quebec. Mr. Scotland, you're being paged. Over.
I'm not sure where LVQ is, Gordon, but could you just give me a quick audio check here? New computer, new setup, just managed to get it done right in the nick of time here this evening, so never even had a chance to check my audio. Go ahead.
Boy, it's right there. Hi, Daryl. Sounds great. Audio level absolutely perfect, sir. Over.
Fantastic. Yeah, speaking of all of this computer stuff, like I just mentioned, brand new system, just got Echolink installed on it and got the ports forwarded for the IP address just in the nick of time here this evening. So, and I went and bought the new computer and a new phone to go with it. Company that I do work for down stateside has just took the brilliant step of changing platforms. Their communications devices went from all using BlackBerry to all using Windows Phone in the last week. So, new Windows Phone, new experience for me. I've never used one of the bloody things. So, and yeah, just barrels and barrels of fun when everything that you're used to working with just decides to do a complete 180. So anyhow, you take it away, my friend, VO1UKZ.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that as you get deeper and deeper into it. Yeah, I hate it when they change everything around. You know, they come out with a new operating system, like the big change was from 7 to 8 or 8.1, whatever. And you know, you climb the ladder and you fall off a couple of times, you pick yourself up, and pretty soon you're working with it. But it's a pain in the hoo-hoo. Don't need this extra time and effort as far as I'm concerned. Thanks, Daryl. LVQ, did you resurface? You must have gone down the hall and turned left. Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon. Mike, Free Lima, Victor, Quebec. No, I went for, I let my dog out, make myself a cup of tea while he was doing his business. And that's me back. I'll let you carry on just now. When it comes to computer work, well, that's another question. Right, back to yourself, Gordon. Carry on just now.
Boy, I know. I think we're all in the same bucket. I don't care if we were experts or thought we were, but boy, there are times you really get tied up in your knickers. Thanks, Robert. Nice to have you so late. What is it over there with this time change? Are you 19 minutes after midnight or 19 minutes after 11? Over.
19 minutes past 12, or 20 past 12, and it's 20 past 7 over there. I've got 2 clocks here. Well, I've got 4 all together. That's it. 12:20, 7:20. And boy, yous are getting some bad weather. Well, you're not, but most of the states is getting a lot of bad weather. Right, Gordon, carry on.
Yeah, poor guys up in Buffalo have really been really catching heck. You know, it's got cold down here for us, Floridian style, but nothing like they're getting up north. All right, thanks, Robert. All right, I'm going to get a little more into this program so that we can get some technical stuff coming out of the experts that are with us, and then we'll open it up again. There was a gentleman by the name of Stephen Elliott. He writes for eHow. He's a contributor writer, and he had this to say about what we're talking about tonight. He says, computers consist of several large electronic chips, each with a specific function. The vital parts included in every computer include the motherboard, the hard drive, the processor, RAM, random access memory, a video card, power supply, and other accessories such as, you know, disk drives and wireless network cards and that kind of stuff. He goes on to say the motherboard is a large chip that connects everything else in the computer. It acts sort of like the control station that connects and integrates the other parts. For example, the processor, RAM, and video card attach directly to the motherboard. These parts each with different aspects of information processing. RAM stores current information on your computer. When you open a program such as an internet browser, some of your RAM is allocated to running that application. The processor and video card process information and make the various functions on a computer work. For example, you know, running a game on a computer requires the constant analysis of information, a task which is dropped upon the processor and video card. Let me buy a nickel. The hard drive acts as sort of a long-term memory storage space. Information on your computer, such as music, movies, pictures, are all kept in and on the hard drive. This storage space also includes the code used to run programs such as word processors and games and so on. Finally, the power supply plugs into the wall and splits the required energy to each part of the computer. One major cord goes to the motherboard to power the various chips, while separate cords power the accessories such as your disk drives. He now again goes on to say, maybe I should buy a nickel, stand by. There are plenty of computer parts that are not essential to the function of a system, but still important to users. And these additionals include things such as your CD, DVD, Blu-ray drives, wireless internet cards, TV tuners, sound cards. Now, there's an interesting one. You don't have a sound card, you're not going to be on Echolink with us. The various types of disk drives are attached to the motherboard and power supply through several cords. The connection to the motherboard carries information to and from the disks, while the connection to the power supply gives the drive power. Alternately, wireless internet cards, TV tuners, and sound cards plug directly into the motherboard and do not require individual power cords. Well, I take a little issue on this. There's a lot of motherboards that are out now that have built in right on the board your video card, audio card, and so on, instead of plugging it into one of the PCI plugs that you would have seen in the past. So it's both, I guess. Mr. Elliott concludes by saying computers are complex machines with many parts that are required to work in unison. Everything starts with a hardware, which is powered by a power supply and tied together through a motherboard. One of the pieces attached to the motherboard is a hard drive, which stores the information, including the computer's operating system. And an operating system allows users to control a computer through a visual interface. If any one of these parts was missing, the computer would be unusable for everyday functions. Computers lacking an operating system would be overly complex. Let me go to the next page here and see what he has to say. And cumbersome. And I guess that makes sense. While system lacking the appropriate hardware would be simple to simply fail to start. Most of the functions everyday computing are done through programs created within the operating system. And he refers to Internet Explorer, as an example, for browsing. Or the Internet Microsoft Word for word processing. I guess he's not a Mac man. Okay, any comments on that? Steve, love to hear from you. Anything from you again down there, Doug, or anybody anywhere? Daryl, we haven't heard from you and your professional ability other than you just made a new toy. KY6V, looking for check-ins.
Good evening to you, Gordon, and good evening to everybody else. code, nobody's from Buffalo. If they are, they're not on an interstate. Understand there's over 6 feet of snow so far. And that's over my head. Like a lot of things. Okay, Gordon, I'm checking in just to give you a start with good check-ins. And Saturday, did you hear from Bill yet, over?
No, I haven't heard anything from Bill. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll drop him a note and ask him if he's buried, if he's still okay. And we'll get a little advance warning here before Saturday morning. Thanks, Tom. Do me a favor. Reach over there and put on your headset. I'm hearing you okay, but boy, are you weak. Over.
Go ahead. I just made a technical adjustment. If Bill can't do it, I'm available. As always, I'm all reliable, you know, Gordon. And I'm going to send you $5 worth of nickels because you're always putting a nickel in the computer. Go ahead.
It's the only way I can keep it running without getting shut off. Thanks, Tom. I think you have a net tonight, so I'm not going to hold you. But appreciate you coming by, Tiger. Over.
That's a roger. My net doesn't start. I'll be on there about 4:15. So I'll hang around and get some good words of advice from all these smart people on the net. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing to keep us all going. And that's what's so neat about South Carson, gathering together like this. Thanks, Tom. Stay warm up there. I haven't heard anybody for Buffalo. I think they're under 6 feet of that white stuff. And might be 7 now. I think they got another foot here today. Anybody else would like to check in at this point, say hello. Looking for it. KY6V, suffixes only, and call now.
November, Foxtrot, Foxtrot.
Uniform, Kilo, Zulu.
Okay, gentlemen, we have two of you. Doug, Mr. California, good evening, and standby Daryl. NFF, please.
Well, good evening, Gordon, Kathy, and everybody else here on the net. This is Doug, N6NFF. South Car's number is Echo 1874, and we're located in Sacramento, California, where we're about having what we should be in terms of normal temperatures, with those being in the mid-50s, and it's going to be dark pretty soon. My question is, can you recommend any type of a book that would explain the basics about a computer, how it works, what some of the terminology means, and how to do this, how to do that? For example, I heard somebody mention about port forwarding when they got Echolink installed. When I did Echolink, I didn't do it. Somebody else did it for me, because one of the hardest things that I seem to have is being able to install software. I do well to do what I do with a computer. Echolink, I figured out how to work it pretty good. I've finally gotten to a point where I pretty much understand Windows Live Mail, but things like word processing, navigating around in a control panel, going through it and learning, what's this do? What does that do? I don't understand this. I don't understand that. So is there any kind of a book that I might be able to get that would explain it, bring it down to the level of a stupid idiot such as me? Let me buy a second, as Gordon says. My wife was exploring on a source that blind people have called Bookshare, in addition to NLS, National Library Service. We found a couple of books that kind of struck my fancy. There was one called Computers for Dummies for Seniors. And there was also another book called Is This Thing On? Are those books helpful? Do you know, or does anybody else know, Gordon, of perhaps a better publication that might better educate me without talking computerese, which is something I basically do not understand? That's my question in a nutshell. Hopefully you or someone else that's connected up could offer some suggestions. KY6V in the net, here is N6NFF.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Doug. I'm going to pass that on to my partner in crime here, and that's Daryl, who's coming up next. He's been in the, has his own computer business, been in this game for a long time. I personally can't, right off the top of my head, name any book that would be maybe what you're looking for. I have found just a world and masses of information out there when you go into your favorite search engine and say, how does a computer work? And boy, you just get reams and reams of stuff that comes back. Now, whether it's comfortable to take it that way for you and have your screen reader go through all of that or not, I don't know. It might be better to have a book on an audio type book production. That would be more comfortable to use. So let me turn it up to Daryl and see if he'll feel that question, number one, see what's on his mind, number two, and how cold is it not, Daryl, from KY6V? Over.
Oh, fantastic. Well, like you say, the last gentleman there hit a great topic, actually, to start off a net like this. And I'm watching my audio meter here. Hopefully my audio is okay. I'm not even sure where the mics are. I know it has this new laptop here has a microphone array. Apparently it has several, so I'm not sure exactly where those are, but the meter looks okay. I gather that you're either blind or visually impaired. I am myself as well, and have been in the computer engineering and repair and network administration departments for a number of years now, almost 15 actually, and I'm only 33 yet, but starting to feel a little old when, you know, my career spans 15 years at 33, but that's it, I suppose. It's what I enjoy. Before you said the Computers for Dummies, that is a fantastic book for anybody that's looking for basic information, how things work, you know, just some general guidance in that area. Fantastic. I had it up on the screen actually before you even mentioned it, as you were asking for any books. And of course, that series I find great on anything you really want to learn from the beginning and learn the basics in terms that pretty much anyone can understand. And that series, actually, as far as I know, a lot of those books have been transferred to an EPUB-type format, which is like a digital book reader-friendly or PDF, you know, book reader-friendly that you can have on your computer or whatever. And most of those readers have their own voice components built into them. So they'll give you in a really good and understandable voice, you know, not robotic sounding really at all. And make the audiobooks in the EPUB format really, really good and easy to understand. So if you can get, especially those Dummies books, if you can get them in an e-reader format, and, you know, the Kindle book reader is a great one for, you know, transferring books that are in text, you know, to speech. So I'd go that route about it. In the way of the temperature up this way, we've been extremely fortunate. We only got our first few flakes of snow last night, believe it or not, and that's really all it was. We didn't have anything to speak of, really, maybe 2 centimeters, you know, barely anything at all. It's pretty much gone now. It was just enough to dust the roads and the lawns and stuff white. So no amount. I've been keeping up on the news, man. Buffalo, wow. That's all I can say is wow. Lake effect snow or not. You know, about 6-7 feet in a little over a day. Man, oh man, first time I've been happy to live in Newfoundland in the winter, let me tell you. Now, I could be eating my words in a week's time, and, you know, we could be needing a backhoe just to get out the front door. So hopefully it doesn't turn around that way. Hopefully that bit of information helps. Back to you.
Okay. Thanks for that, Daryl. Doug out there, Mr. California, did that sort of point you in a direction? Sounded like it was very valuable to me. Do you have any questions of Daryl, sir? Over.
Well, I don't really have any questions. He didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know, but I still appreciate Daryl's comments nonetheless, especially from somebody who takes care of computers professionally. The only comment that I would make about the computer in general is, especially where those of us who use screen readers are concerned, and yes, I'm a totally blind person, Daryl. Computers are more complicated than they need to be. Somebody needs to come up with a faster, easier, more expedient way for those of us who are visually impaired or totally blind being dependent upon a screen reader to be able to navigate and do things more quickly and efficiently. I mean, a sighted person can point that mouse and bingo, in 5 seconds can have something taken care of, whereas a guy like me takes several minutes or maybe even much, much longer. Computers are more complicated than they need to be. Thanks a bunch for your time, Gordon. Best of 73. KY6V, here is N6NFF.
Yeah, okay. Let me take you off subject for a moment. Your governor, is he Republican or Democrat?
Well, it so happens that Jerry Brown, the son of Edmund Brown, affectionately used to be known as Pat Brown, he is a Democrat. N6NFF.
All right, put your seatbelt on, dude. California is going to be rocking. Thanks, Doug. Daryl, that's an interesting question, particularly in your visual state also. Do you see anything on the horizon that will improve and make things easier for people such as Doug in navigating instead of going through all of this horrific task, I guess is a way to put it. Daryl, KY6V, over.
Well, in regard to familiarizing yourself with the new technology that's coming out, of course, that's always going to be a challenge because, you know, a lot of these new devices and stuff, you know, tablets, smartphones, all the like that deliver information to the masses in a very, very pocket-sized and easy-to-handle form. I'm not totally blind myself, so I am able to orient myself with new devices and screen layouts. Now, what I have found, if you do have a sighted person that can give you a hand with the, you know, just the basic familiarization of interfaces, the Android operating system has really lent itself recently to a lot of really enhanced voice outputs, and then, of course, Microsoft has done a similar thing with their Windows tablets and Windows phones with their voice companion, they call it, I think, Cortana, that delivers a lot of voice output and just two-way voice interaction with these devices. If you can have someone give a hand to set up something like that, you know, Google Voice with its Google Now services are great. You know, they allow you to touch the screen, and then once you touch the screen, even though you can't see it, it will give you a speech output of what exactly you touched. And providing you can keep your hand in the same place and then tap the same place the second time if it's what you're looking for, there's a lot of really good you know, speech integration into some of these new devices. I find myself using them quite a bit. Google Now, especially on Android, is great. You can literally you know, just say, okay, Google. You don't hit any button on your phone, anything. And once the phone hears that statement, it'll you know, pretty much ask you what you want, and you just speak what you want. You know, you can ask it pretty much any question under the sun. I challenge anyone to catch it on a question it doesn't know the answer to, that it can't give you a voice output or voice answer back to. And I haven't been able to do it yet, haven't been able to stump it. You know, anything on sports teams, stocks, weather, emails, text messages, just about anything you could want to know, you can get a voice output for it on these new tablets. I have several different models here, you know, being from Windows tablets to Android tablets, and it just depends on what the flavor of operating system you want, and they have simplified the experience. You know, you just touch where you want and the information you need pops right out at you. You know, no need to go to websites and have, you know, 10 browser tabs open on your desktop anymore to manage information quickly and easily. It's all there right at the sound of your voice. Back to you, Gordon.
Boy, I'll tell you, haven't we come a long way, guys and gals? You know, I was talking with Jim, Quebec Yankee, today, Daryl, and I said, he started off on a TI-99, and so did I. But before I got my TI-99 at the house, the UPS driver or whoever he was brought in a package to the engineering department at the CBS television station that I was with. And it was a green screen monitor, in a CPM based machine. We got it out of the package and put it on the table. I was telling Jim this today. And said, what the heck do we do with this thing? So all the engineers would gather around this thing, and everybody that would try to use the keyboard, no matter what they put on the keyboard, the thing came back and said, syntax error, syntax error. And now you can't befuddle Google. Is that what you're saying? Over.
Yeah, pretty much. I found it really, really good. It searches for your answers based on voice. Providing you don't have an extremely, extremely odd dialect, and I mean, I've been told Newfoundland accents are pretty bad for a lot of people to understand, and that'd be my area of residence. So it picks up everything I say. It doesn't make very many mistakes, and when I say it doesn't make very many, I mean, like, maybe, you know, one or two, maybe in the run of a week, and that's using it pretty constantly. So it's pretty reliable, and, it seeks information extremely quickly. And Cortana with Microsoft Windows tablets and things does just as good a job, but it doesn't have, it's not as rich when it responds to you, I don't find, but it definitely does the job as well. And like you say, the ability to touch your screen and get a vocal output of what you're touching and then touch it again, it will launch the app and then give you all your directions and whatever in a voice output as well. The days of, running JAWS on a Windows computer, because I started that way, with a screen reader, and it was cumbersome, to say the least, and, difficult to learn when you first got into it. But these new speech outputs with these mobile devices are just fantastic. I mean, you can say to it, what was the final score of the whichever sports team, and it'll give you the final output in a matter of half a second, and just incredible. What's the weather right now? It'll tell you exactly what it's like outside without even having to open the window. So definitely some superior technology than the old trash 80s and the 8088s and all of that stuff from back in the day. I got my start actually playing Dungeons and Dragons on an old BBS at 10 years old, so I've also felt the sting of the old basic commands and needing to know exactly what you want to say to the computer for it to understand it. So we've definitely come a long way there, Gordon.
Yeah, we sure have, Daryl. KY6V here for South Cars. And if you've just tuned in, we're talking about computer basics here. Guys and gals. Boy, did you bring back memories when you said a trash 8080. You know, the voice synthesizer has come so far through the last 44, 45 years, whatever. The voice synthesizer that I had on that TI-99, Daryl, I'd have to purposely misspell the word that it was supposed to enunciate to make it come out sounding right. And now you just go boo, and it comes back and says boo-hoo. Tell me, can you talk to your Android and say, what's my telephone number, and it'll tell you that? Over. That'll help Einstein. Over.
Oh, absolutely. Pretty much anything you throw at it. And anybody that has one of these Android devices, just pick it up, and if you don't have it configured, do a little bit of configuration. And just say, okay, Google, and ask it something. And I bet you'll get an answer back that's pretty much satisfactory. And yes, what's my phone number is one of the things you can ask it, believe it or not. And it will come back, give you area code in the appropriate 7 digits. So it's definitely made my life a lot easier, Gordon. But now, like you say, like I mentioned at the top of the show, that I have to get used to the whole Windows phone interface now. And that's definitely new, but I'm finding a lot of things about it, with integration with your contacts and associates and different things like that, that it does a lot better than what the Android devices do. So the Windows phone experience is new by me. So It'll be Hi Cortana instead of OK Google, but pretty much the same principle. Go ahead.
That's fantastic. Well, look, we haven't heard from Steve yet, and Steve, I don't want to put you on the point if you've got something else going in the background. Steve out there in Louisiana. But Steve was in a university environment for a long, long time. And probably has a lot of input. I wonder if you have any comments, Steve, towards what Doug was talking about. Good books for reference on visually impaired type individuals that would like to have the world a little easier. KF5VH, are you with us, sir? KY6V, over. All right, we may have to come back to Steve. He's probably taking the dog out for a walk out in the backyard. But thanks, guys. Very interesting. Let me go into a couple of other comments here that may stir up some additional conversation. Let me, before I do so, though, I don't want to wear out Doug's time down there in Fort Myers, and he's an early guy to go to bed because he gets up in the middle of the night. Doug, do you have anything to contribute, or do you want to tell your story now, or you want to keep it for later? Over.
I'm ready. I had success helping a friend with ransomware. I'd heard about ransomware on CNN News, and this friend did the best advice was not to pay the ransom, because now you've compromised your credit card, and the ransom doesn't get your computer working again. It's ransomware locks your screen and invites you, says you, the Department of Homeland Security has said you are someplace where you shouldn't be on this computer, and now it's now locked, and you've got to pay the ransom. Well, anyway, so she brought it to me, and I'd heard about it, and I studied up on it a little bit, and I was able to fix it. I found the computer would boot to BIOS. And so I changed the boot sequence to boot off of a rescue disk. I'd never used a rescue disk before, and I found that Avast free antivirus has a rescue disk program where I wrote a rescue USB and stuck that USB and booted the computer off of the USB drive, and it rescued that computer that was infected with ransomware. A success story of the week. KA0GYF. I like Avast antivirus. Thanks to Bill there. And Floral City or Central Florida? Remind me who the Bill is I'm talking about, Gordon. KA0GYF. Ransomware expert now. Over.
Well, you know, you mentioned something that I find very interesting. Yeah, you're talking Bill up in Fruitland, just north of the land and just south of the northern part of the state, I guess. And I wasn't aware of that. I guess I haven't got into the nitty-gritty of Avast, and I've been running it as long as you have, if not longer. But will it take an image of your computer, or how does that work? Does it take an image file and allow you to dump it to a USB thumb drive and use it for emergency backup? Over.
The computer will, if you direct the BIOS to boot off the USB, the computer boots off this rescue disk, which runs antivirus program without the Windows is loaded. And so, and I read from the Avast tool page, called Rescue Disk under Avast Tools, a bootable media will be created with the latest Avast antivirus. The definitions grow old rather quickly, so it is recommended to create a new Rescue Disk before you use it. So that pulled the bug out, and then I reconfigured the BIOS to boot from the hard drive, and sure enough, it booted. And then I ran Malwarebytes, and this is that gal that has all those PUP files, and she had about only 70 PUP files this time with Malwarebytes. You know, I like that now. Gordon, you've really talked me into Malwarebytes. That pulls a lot of things that Microsoft Safety Scanner doesn't find. and Avast doesn't find. So, boots off of the resin disk that's created on USB or CD in Avast tools. There's, you know, the Avast has really gotten full-featured here of late. AA0GYF, Fort Myers, Florida, over.
Okay. I now understand how that Avast works with your USB. Thanks for that, Doug. Very good, sir. Let's see, Steve, did you get back from wherever you were, KF5VH? Any comments, sir, over? Well, he's still connected, so he's got something going. All right, guys and gals, let me take this a step further and see what comments the experts have for us this evening. There's a guy by the name of Chris Woodford, Woodford, writes on the internet, and his last updated was update was November the 7th of this year, 2014. And he said the following: a computer is an electronic machine that processes information. In other words, words, an information processor. It takes in raw information or data at one end, stores it until it's ready to work on it, chews and crunches it for a bit, and then spits out the results the other end. So all these processors have a name. Taking the information is called the input. Storing the information is better known as memory or storage. Chewing information is also known as processing, or spitting out results is called output. He goes on to say that imagine if a computer were a person. Suppose you had a friend who's really good at math. And she is so good that everyone she knows posts that math problem to her. Each morning, she goes to her letterbox, finds a pile of the new math problems waiting for her attention. She piles them up on her desk until she gets around to looking at them. And each afternoon, she takes a letter off the top of the pile, studies the problem, works out the solution, scribbles the answer on the back. She puts this in an envelope addressed to the person who sent her to the original problem and sticks it in her out tray. Your friend is working just like a computer. Her letterbox is her input. The pile on her desk is her memory. Her brain is the processor. And the works out the solution to the problems, and the out tray, of course, is her output. Okay. Am I simplifying things too much here? Daryl, let me ask you. I think all of us most of the time look at this computer as holy mackerel, how does this thing work? And when you come right down to it, it's pretty straightforward. Daryl, any comments? KY6V.
Yeah, QSL, no, you're not. That's a great analogy, actually. I've never heard that one before. So I guess the 2.0 is the cups of coffee, the operating system that it takes to solve all of those math problems, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But I guess, you know, maybe what we ought to be talking about, we'll make this Computer Basics 102 or something, maybe, for another program. But how can you get so doggone tied up in your knickers so fast? When something gets corrupted, then the only avenue is to reformat. They're all over.
Well, like you say, that's what I had originally thought the last station was referring to when he mentioned a USB rescue disk. And I guess that would be the recovery disk, and that's a great tool to have. I tell you, I just made one with this new machine here. I took away all of the apps and whatnot, all the junk that I didn't need, and I mentioned it one time before, PC decrapifier,
It's an app that that I've been using for years, and it works quite good to get rid of all that initial junk that the computer manufacturers bundle with the new PCs. And then most of them come with a tool built in now to make some recovery media. And, you know, the USB drive works fantastic. I don't like the old CDs and DVDs anymore because, you know, you get a bad one and your data is, you know, no better than the hard drive you're trying to fix. So, yeah, I like to use a USB stick to make my my recoverable media. And then, of course, once you you get that done, and if your computer ever crashes, you pop in that USB stick, and it can get you back up and running again in less than an hour without too many headaches at all. The old format and reinstalled, but you wouldn't be you wouldn't believe how many times in the run of a week I still run into that, and that it's the best solution to fix up a machine. Of course, it's nice, you know, when the customer doesn't allow it to get so far gone that you can't rescue those hundreds of thousands of photos that they've accumulated over the years, and you can get those copied off. But like you say, if you can't, at least you can get your operating system back to a previous state where everything worked well, and get everything back up and running again there with some recovery media. So anybody that's buying a new computer, I would definitely recommend, if you see that asking you to create recovery media, pop up on your screen, get yourself a blank USB stick. Usually about 16 gigs will do it. If it has a lot of extra software, you might want a 32 gig stick. I haven't really seen them go any bigger than that for recovery media, but that stuff works great to get you back on track pretty quick. So I definitely recommend that to anybody with a new PC, or even someone that's gotten a computer, let's say in the last year, and maybe even a little longer ago than a year. You know, just type recovery into your computer there under your search for programs, and you should find some type of pre-installed recovery manager that will allow you to create yourself a rescue platform in case you ever do need it. And like you say, it can save you a lot of money in the long run, because some of these you know, repair shops and whatnot.
Okay, Daryl up there in Newfoundland has timed out, guys and gals. Stand by here. Let's see how quickly he recovers.
I recover very quickly. I just got my finger off to buy a nickel, actually, as soon as the beep went through. So hopefully I'm transmitting okay. But yeah, I'll close it there on that statement. Recovery media, make it, use it. It can save your life and your wallet. VO1UKZ.
And both very valuable commodities, I might add. Thanks, Daryl. KY6V for South Cars here. Any other comments before we continue?
We move back to Quebec.
You mean to tell me that you're still up here at 2 minutes after one? Shame on you. Over.
Well, that's why I'm breaking in, Gordon. I'm just going to say good night and good morning, or, well, still morning over there. Or evening, I should say. I'm just going to go to my fourth poster. And I've lost my chewing gum. And you can't buy this stuff anymore. Right, I'll give you my wee weather forecast before I go, Gordon. It's 43. Going down is 39. The wind is 10 to 15 miles an hour for the east. It's 93 humidity and 80% chance of rain. And, I've got a wee story about computers, but I'm not saying it now because I'm going to go to my bed. I'm feeling a wee bit too tired, so I'm going to say good night to everybody, and we'll catch you all on Saturday. This is Mike 3, Lima, Victor, Quebec, West Central Scotland.
Well, thanks for sticking with us tonight, Robert, number one. Sleep tight, number two. And that's funny, I was sitting back thinking about the spearmint gum on your bedpost, you know, and you brought it up, so we're still together on that one. Okay, good night, Robert. Anybody else before we continue? This is KY6V for South Cars.
You are.
Mark, Northeast Ohio.
Okay, I think we had a little doubling in there. I had QY. Thank you, Jim. And Mark, Northeast Ohio, your suffix, please, sir, or?
All right, the call is King Charles 8, Fox, Queen Victor, be KC8FQV.
Okay, Mark, we got you. Nice sounding signal, too. All right, let me start with Mr. Georgia. That's Franklin, Georgia. Ed Mark will be right with you. KV4QY, please, from KY6V. Jim?
Well, going this information that you were talking about, it does have a name. It's been around almost from dogs. I don't guess it was out in CPM, but certainly there had been a dog concert to be there. It's called GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced GIGO. Garbage in, garbage out, and what you missed is originally when that saying came out, it was garbage in, garbage out at machine speeds. Jim, over.
Sometimes I don't know about that either, but it certainly is out generally. Of course, you discover it in the first order. You discover you got garbage out, you wonder, well, now where did I put it in at? And you'll find if you just search long enough, you'll say, oh, was that it? Well, that looked pretty much like a pig to me. But anyhow, just plain old Gigo. Okey-doke, that's all I had, over.
Yeah, that term's been around almost from the start. It seemed to me that its origin, Jim, came about when things first got started and they had punched cards. Punch the holes in the cards and then process them through the machine to get everything going. That saying came up, garbage in, garbage out. Thank you, sir. Let me turn it up there to Mark. KC8, Foxtrot, Quebec Victor. Good evening, sir. Gordon, KY6V for South Cars. Nice to have you with us. Over.
All right. KCFQV here. Yeah, I just was looking through, and I see one guy was checked in. And, oh, okay, South Cars, N6NFF, Doug. So I said, hey, I can check in. I guess I add another one to my repertorial nets. Yeah, tonight. I'll have a lot of nets, and I did a pretty good day today, nets. I started out early this morning on a net out there in Central Ohio down in Silver Creek Group, and then I did our trivia net, and then I did a bunch of Echolink nets, and now I'll be doing some more nets tonight. So I'm going to go eat, and I got to finish and continue working, so, a great time being able to stop by and say hello to everyone and hear what everyone has to say. And yeah, I wish the cough would want to go take a trip and it would get froze when it goes through the airwaves, because what would happen right now when it leaves me, well, right now it goes Wi-Fi, and yeah, but it gets outside. And of course, it probably gets so warm, all the mother data signal. They probably all huddle up there when they're running through them fibers and cables, and they keep each other warm as they go through until they get to their end source. So I'll send it back to Net KSFQV, and everyone has enjoyed the evening and enjoy the holidays coming up.
Well, you too, Mark, and thanks for coming by here this evening. I just pulled you up on the roster. You're Echo 1693, so you've been here with us for quite a while. Looks like you registered with the net first time on April the 9th of 2011. So welcome, welcome. I recognize your voice. Are you also a friend of Doug's N6NFF out there in Sacramento, California, or am I thinking about somebody else? Over.
Nope. Doug used to live in Northeast Ohio, and he moved out to Sacramento. So he used to be K8NFF, and when he went out there, he changed to N6NFF. He wanted to get K, and it was already used. But yes, I know Doug, and I've known him for some time. So, yep, and he's in there tonight. Sometimes he checks over in the lake machine. We had a pretty good net over on the La Cara net, so he might be listening. So there was a pretty good group over there. So, but we definitely do have some propagation going on out there at different times. People talk, well, what propagation? Well, you know, that when the signals don't want to get where they should go. You know, people don't realize that some stuff goes wireless, you know. That way we used to do it. So I'll send it back your way, KCFQV.
Okay, Mark. Very good. Yes, Doug was with us here earlier this evening. And asked some interesting questions that we were parling around, so I'm sorry that you missed him. I see that he is disconnected, so he may be going on to that other system that you mentioned. But have a great evening up there, and thanks for coming by, Mark. Anybody else that would like to check in before we continue? We are 11 minutes into the second hour, and this is KY6V for Southguards.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Hey, that's two Ohioans, one right after the other. Great. Hello, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring you up to date. From what I've been following on Buffalo, New York, actually Buffalo, New York, with all those snow bands, really didn't get as much as about 20 or 30 miles south. They were the ones that got about 5 or 6 feet of snow. As of the other night, Buffalo had about 3.5. So, kind of a strange one. It hit certain areas, and other areas, nothing. It's been fun watching the Weather Channel. They had a scene where they were out of Lake Erie, and actually showed the snow band coming in off the lake. It looked just like a fog cloud actually running right in, clearing where the camera was set up, and snow like a fog rolling in off the lake. I've only seen fog like that. Haven't seen snow, but I can imagine they do get it up there, and they've been getting it as well as northern Michigan, upper peninsula, and lower part, upper part of the lower peninsula, getting the same type of snow bands. We down here did not get that much of snow, just enough to cover, enough to kind of make it slippery, but temperature-wise, that's where we got hit pretty good. And currently I'm in a different location on my tablet. Let me drop it for a second. Since I have no timer, I can't tell when my timeout timer, so I have to kind of remember it mentally. And I've had problems. I had a water pipe break because of the freezing unexpectedly, so I've had to spend a few days in a different location using the tablet. And definitely not liking it, but can't be able to sleep where I'm at because, or where I was, because they had to shut off the power, and just too many headaches. So I just said, well, I'll just spend a few nights different location. And I always remember, I almost forgot about the net tonight, and I said, well, I definitely got to check in. And quite enjoyable about computers, and definitely something to learn. And 1PXP back to net control.
Okay, Rick. Well, boy, I'm sorry to hear about the water pipe situation. Did they get the new heater taken care of for you before this happened? Over.
Well, that seems to be the other problem. Cost-wise, they decided, let's try to rebuild the old one and, you know, see what they can do. And that was almost completed until they pressurized the system, and they found several leaks. Unusual. Wouldn't think there was any problem, but pressurizing the pipes, that's when they found the leaks. So got about three of them, different areas, and just didn't have enough time to work on it today. So it's going to be probably Monday before they get a chance to go back and try to finish it up. Hopefully it's going to be restored by Wednesday. They have a new system that they can add on to it that would prevent the freezing, but they want to try to use the old one first.
Boy, if it isn't one thing, it's another. Well, stick with it. I'm glad you're doing okay. Things get real bad, just jump on an airplane, come on down. We got extra bedrooms. How about that, Rick? Over.
Well, I might take you up on it, but then again, I got too many other people between you and me that are offering the same assistance. So, kind of a big choice. Got to figure out what's the one I would really enjoy.
Okay, Tucker. Thanks for coming by. I saw you on there earlier, and I'm glad that you had a moment to check in, Rick. Anybody else before we continue? This is South Cars. It's now 16 minutes and counting on the second hour. All right, I'm going to go into a session here that is probably going to be controversial because we all have our own ideas on how to do things. But with all of this said, let's talk about keeping your computer healthy and running at a top speed and acting correctly. People will be people, and all of us have different likes and dislikes, and we all wear different clothes, think differently, and, you know, have our given choices on how things should be done. With this said, our panel of experts this evening all have different thoughts and ideas on how to keep your computer running properly. So I will start out with my approach and let others defend their thoughts on the matter. Let me buy a nickel. Between Kathy, K6SUN, and myself, we run 10 computers here at a home environment 24 hours a day. We run and clean up routines on these computers on an average of every 2 or 3 days, and actually Kathy does it more often than that. The system that I use, which I have been using for about, well, probably the last 10 years, goes like this. First, I check for updates on all my major programs. This includes my communications programs such as Skype, Echolink, my antivirus program, my operating system, OS, etc. I then run a malware program, a program to clean temporary files and registry check. When this is done, I check to see if my defrag program ran a schedule which is set to run automatically every Wednesday morning at 1 a.m. when I'm sound asleep. I conclude this utility program with a boot scan disk program to verify my file status, and also run a boot antivirus scan about once a week. I might add that the entire exercise normally takes me only 15 minutes per computer. And I normally don't do them all in the same day, so it's on and off type thing through the week. This approach has worked very well for me for years, and so let's see how others go about the task. And I'm going to start with Daryl, because I know Daryl has some very firm ideas about registry programs, malware programs, and programs in general. Daryl, you still with me? KY6V, VO1UKZ, please.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll attack that one a different way than I normally do, because, like you say, it there's different ways to look at it, as you said, and you hit the nail right on the head. I have since tried a variety of different registry cleaners, you know, and I never thought you'd hear me say that one, but I have given a couple of them a chance. I still keep my personal position that I don't use them, because for the first time user,
is what I'd say. They're probably not a great idea. For someone like yourself or myself that can identify, you know, the majority of those things that the registry cleaners and whatnot throw up on the screen, then great. If you know enough to exclude things that you're aware that the computer requires to run, if you know enough to do that, then fine. You know, go ahead. Personal preference all the way. But I personally don't recommend them to people because a lot of people, you know, don't have that knowledge to exclude things like that Windows requires to function properly from those, you know, scan result reports. I personally use SpyBot, and I'm pretty much on par with what Gordon runs as well, about 10 computers, most of which are tablets now, though. You know, easier just to leave one on the coffee table or in the bathroom, you know, for some good reading and stuff. So I've been switching my computer repertoire out to portable devices. You know, they have a lot longer battery life and whatnot, but that's a whole different avenue of questioning. But if you know enough, like you say, to exclude things from registry cleaners, then great. I just personally use a program called SpyBot, Search and Destroy, which I've used for about 10 years now, maybe a little longer. And it does a fantastic job, and it filters out for you those things that could potentially be harmful if you go ahead and delete them. Great program. And like Gordon said, you know, everybody has their preference when it comes to this kind of thing. I personally no longer use a virus scanner, a dedicated virus scanner. I would recommend, however, people have some type of virus protection on their machine. But just from, you know, the recent years, let's say, I've found viruses are not the threat that they used to be. Spyware and malware are more of a problem this day and age. Illicit hackers and whatnot take more of their time to create stuff that would, you know, that will return them information automatically. That they can then, you know, filter and use to their benefit, I guess you would say, what they'd look at it as to their benefit, to the rest of our dismay. And, yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I find that the, and that's it. If I dropped out, that was all I had on that one. Gordon, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send you our Purple Crystal Award. Just kidding, Daryl. We had a quite active repeater organization down in Miami, South Florida, when I was down that way. And we came up with the Purple Crystal Award. If you've never heard of that, it's for those that kept timing out the repeater. And it was actually an old crystal that was painted purple and was supplied to them with a certificate and say, hang it on your wall. What do you think about that? Over.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I cordially accept. Now, I just use the I use the built-in timer with Echolink. Just keep it set to default, and most repeaters I think are set at about 3 minutes, and that's what I keep that that setting set to. I don't think I kicked anybody off this time or last. Did I go ahead?
No, not at all. Now you're mating. We're right on 3 minutes with the SCARS server. You exceed that, you go quiet. You don't get kicked off or anything like that, but we can't hear from you until you unkey. Over.
Ah, there you go. Well, when I get that chirp, that means I better let go of the spacebar, so, or tap the spacebar again to unkey. But no, that's pretty much all I've got on that one. SpyBot, Search and Destroy for the malware and spyware. And the Windows virus scanner does a good job, at least the ones that they're incorporating. And I'll just throw up another quick little topic. What I mentioned, just an adage to what I mentioned earlier about platform changes and all this. So people had a lot of trouble adjusting from Windows 7 to Windows 8. Well, Windows 10 is coming down the pipeline. I guess they decided to exclude version number 9, but they're going with Windows 10. For the new version, and they're doing away. I'm a Microsoft beta tester. I've been for a number of years, and a couple of months back, I got the alpha release for the new Windows 10. They're going to do away with the touch screen, or the that home screen that you get, you know, the tile interface, and incorporate it into a start menu-like outfit for Windows 10. So those people that were upset that they lost their start menu in Windows 8, well, it's coming back in Windows 10. So something to look forward to there. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Have you played with 10's beta at this point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm running it on a Dell Touch 1, 4 gigs of RAM, quad-core processor and whatnot, and it's doing a good job, I must say. It doesn't completely eliminate that start screen, but it does put it to the right of the start menu. So when you click your start button, you'll get your recently used programs and stuff, you know, that you're familiar with the old-school start menu. But then just to the right of that, you'll get your frequently used tile applications as well. So they're not going to do away with the support for that, because, of course, those things are very, very tablet-friendly and whatnot. So they're still gearing up toward an operating system that will run on both laptops, Ultrabooks, tablets, phones, you know, all of the devices that we've come to know and love in the last 5 to 10 years. But they're going to make some slight changes to it. But, you know, that is Microsoft after all, and it's our jobs to test it and report the bugs, but ultimately they make the final decisions. So I think it's going to be a nice improvement, you know, especially for the people that are still upset about losing the start menu. It is going to make a triumphant return in the new version of Windows. Back to you, VO1UKZ.
Yeah, I sort of saw that coming, Daryl. KY6V here for South Cars. Let me ask you on the 10 version. One of my pet peeves, and it's not serious, you know, I live with it. I've got several computers here that are running 8.1 on Windows. But you want to close this thing out? You know, you got to snuggle your mouse up into the upper right-hand corner, and then the screen will come up, and then you got to scroll clear to the bottom to go to settings in order to turn your bloomin' computer off or restart it. Where it was a piece of cake on the start menu. Did they do anything with that, or did they just miss that whole thing over?
Yeah, see, the thing with Windows 8, it's more geared towards touchscreen interfaces. And it is, in years to come, everything's going to have a touchscreen. You know, that's something that's just coming down. They're phasing out, you know, the mouse functionality bit by bit. But the good, like, with Windows 8, I know you're talking about the charms, and, you know, to pull out from the right side of your screen. But if you were using a touchscreen, so you don't have to put your mouse up into the corner then and get that charm thing to pop out at all. All you do is just swipe out from the right side of your computer, put your finger on the bezel, and swipe outward, and that charm menu will just appear. You click the little gear, and then click shutdown. There's not really much to it if you're using a touchscreen interface. You just slide your finger out, put your finger in the center of the screen, toward the far right bezel where it's not lit up, and swipe your finger out, and that charm will pop right up. And just hit the gear, like you say, and then click shutdown. Not really. It's pretty much still the same. Now, you can customize that in your Windows 8 and enable the Alt F4. So when you're just at your main screen, you hold down Alt and press F4, and then you'll get this standard old Windows interface that allows you to select shutdown and click OK. So you can do it that way as well to shut down your PC there. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, these are just happen to be some of my small pet peeves. They're not really anything that I'm losing any sleep over, Daryl, you know. My main computer here is still Windows 7, and I love it. And I'm just very familiar with it, very comfortable with it, I guess is the way to put it. I want to take everybody back to your comments on registry cleaners. You know, I don't care what program you're using. As Daryl said, if you're not staying on top of it and you're not really maybe as knowledgeable on the overall process as you should be, or will become, let's put it that way, you have to be careful. And what I do on my registry cleaner is that I save everything that they change on the registry at the point that I'm running the program. And that allows me, now this is only one time, probably in the last 10 years, Daryl, that I had to do it. Maybe twice, I don't know, but at least once. All of a sudden, everything went bongo, and nothing was working. And I went back into my save file and restored what they had changed on the registry, and everything came back. Saved my life, I guess. Or my pocketbook, or both, as you put it, Daryl. Any comments on that? That works fine for me. I just automatically save, and if I get into trouble, I can regroup. Over.
Well, there you go. You got lucky. You got lucky that you know enough to make that backup. Because, you, like you say, being in this business, the amount of people I run into that don't have these backups, the amount of people I run into that have 100,000 photos on their hard drive that don't make regular backups of said photos is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've had people literally in tears because they didn't have a backup of their, their entire child's, first 5 years of life and things like that. And people, that cried their eyes out for days. And I tediously picked through hard drives and things like that, searching for every file with a JPG extension, just trying to pull all of the pictures I can from a corrupt hard drive and things like that. And I mean, that gets pricey. You know, it really does. That's one of my pricier services is data recovery. And, I've had people that, I warn them first. I can make an attempt, but it's going to be a costly attempt. And anything that I do get back, it's really going to, it's going to be expensive for you. So, I tell people that, back up. Everything that you store on a PC or a tablet, or a smartphone, anything that you know to be valuable, back those things up on a very, very regular basis. Because if you get a catastrophic failure, you are going to lose those things. And it is very, very difficult after that catastrophic failure to return those things to pristine condition. So I recommend back up as much as you can. Keep as many copies of things that are important to you as you can. And off-site backups. Take one of those memory cards and put it in the fireproof safe at the office if it contains your child's life and all up through graduation and school and those things, Keep that stuff in the fireproof safe at the office because, you just never know when it comes to digital data there. Back to you.
Boy, you hit that one right on the head. Thanks for that, Daryl. Hope you are all listening out there. Back up. You don't know when... The day is going to hit you. And if you're not backed up, you're going to lose an awful lot of stuff, number one. Number two, it is just a proverbial pain in the hoo-hoo. And that's the way I'm going to put it, Daryl. To reformat a non-backed up computer. Put a clean operating system in it, and then put in all of your favorite programs all over again. Download them, so on and so forth, unless you were smart enough to back some of them up. And this has happened to me a number of times, Daryl, and I will tell you that I hate to see this coming, because I know for a fact, with the amount of stuff that I run here, that it's going to take me 3 and sometimes 4 days to get that computer back to where I want once I have reformatted and started from scratch. Any comments? Over.
Yes, sir. As always, I've always got something to say about this kind of stuff. Yep, backing up is one of the most important things that you could potentially do. And if you've got that computer that's just set up just the way you like it, with every program, every app, every bit of information, all your bookmarks, favorites, if you've got that one computer that's just set up just the way you like it, I recommend a piece of software called Drive Snapshot. Drive Snapshot. And it does just what the name states. It will take an exact duplicate of your setup, your configuration, your user files, your emails, your accounts, your passwords, everything that you're probably going to have that pain in the hoo-hoo dealing with. Take a drive snapshot and copy it to a piece of recovery media, and instructions for all of this stuff are readily available, and my email address is good if anybody has any questions on QRZ about this stuff. And I like to be able to make myself available, especially to the ham radio community. And the Echolink stuff I've been doing ever since I got my ticket back in 05. And, of course, it's gone on to D-Star as well. And, I give people, a helping hand wherever I can out of these jams and failures and whatnot. So, Drive Snapshot is a great way to go. Back to you, B01UKZ.
All right. Is that a free program? Do you have to buy it? So what it does is it captures, and then you offload it onto some other source, external drive or whatever. Is that right?
Yeah, QSL. It'll allow you to make an exact duplicate of your hard drive. Now, granted, some people have a hard drive maybe that contains over 100 gigs worth of data. So if you want to make an exact replica of all of that, I recommend not just a USB stick or a memory card, but you're going to need a portable hard drive, a terabyte. I recommend a terabyte of space now. And looking back, I come from the time when 1.44 megabyte floppy disks and less, 520 kilobytes, and man, we've come a long way. But, a terabyte hard drive will usually be able to capture everything you have on a computer. And you have, when it comes to the price of Drive Snapshot currently, I'm not quite sure. And if I get out of this Echolink thing and start opening browsers and whatnot, something's bound to crash here, especially since I'm running a new clean machine here. So, anywho, you can check that one out on the internet. It's definitely the best in the business. There is a nominal fee, as far as I know. I do have a copy of it here myself, so I won't be repurchasing anything anytime soon. But I use it quite a bit, and for keeping a good, clean, updated drive snapshot image. Then you can restore your computer should you ever need to. You can boot up from that image and write it back to a new hard drive if your old one crashes or whatnot. So it's a very versatile utility and has a lot of features. It's definitely worth purchasing, just to safeguard those things that we just can't afford to lose in this digital age. Because after all, one EMP and it's all gone and we're back to the Stone Age. So if you don't want to lose that stuff, back up those hard drives, operating systems, everything that we deem as important. Back to you.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Daryl. KY6V here for South Cars. We're talking about computers, obviously, this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a note down here on my to-do list, Drive Snapshot. I'll look into that. Yeah, we've got terabyte backup disks available, so that may be something to make me sleepy, better at night. Thanks, Daryl. Okay, anybody else before I get into a closing subject here, and that's going to be, where would we be if we didn't have computers? Check-ins, please, KY6V.
Victor Hotel.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I thought you fell asleep on me. Nice to have you, Steve. I called you a couple of times. You didn't respond. I thought, well, maybe you were taking the dog out in the backyard. And then I thought maybe you fell asleep. Go ahead, sir. KY6V.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, everyone. There have been some network problems here with the local provider. And I have my grandson over here. So have just been listening for a little while. Has anyone mentioned using the network to back up their computer rather than local storage?
No, you're talking about clouds and what have you. No, that has not been mentioned, Steve. Over.
Well, I was going to mention services. There are services that will hold your backup. If you do a nice backup, and I do backups here locally like you've just been talking about, but something happens to where that copy is. So if you keep the copy in your computer room and you have a fire or a flood or whatever, you can lose the computer and lose the copy. So one of the things I do on the main computer here is I use a service. I happen to use Carbonite, but there are others. And Carbonite sits in the computer. And for every type of file you say you want to back up, like all JPEGs, all docs, all XLS, it keeps searching the computer, making a list of files that it hasn't backed up, and then backs them up. When it gets done with that, it waits a little while and rechecks everything. So it's constantly checking, constantly moving files out. The backup copies also rotate. So it keeps a copy that's 1 day old, 2 day old, 3 day old, 7 day old, 1 month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, 1 year old, and I think there's 2 year old also. So it keeps snapshots of your computers at those points. So even if you delete a file, it's possible to get it back. That's it from here tonight. Back to you, Gordon, KF5VH.
Hey, good information. Thanks, Steve. Give me that name again. What did you call the service that you're using?
Carbonite.
Okay, I was writing that down. All right, thanks for that. And there's a cost involved in this, I assume.
Yes, the Carbonite, their business model is you pay for time, but you don't pay for storage amounts. There are other companies that where you pay for the amount of storage that you have. I have a rather huge amount, so it's worth it to me to do it based on time. And the downside of that is they are not very fast. But, I mean, the only time when a file is backed up a second time is when it's changed. So I can afford the bandwidth going to the storage place to be low. When I started this new computer up and moved everything from the old computer, it took almost 2 weeks for it to back everything up. But now that it's backed up, backups happen several times a day. Back to you, Gordon, KF5VH.
Oh, that scared me when you said 2 weeks. Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, Daryl, any comments on there from Newfoundland? Over.
Yeah, QSL, yeah, that's a fantastic idea, Steve, and we definitely would have went into that one, but you brought it up just at the perfect time. I mentioned earlier keeping an off-site backup to the fireproof safe in the office, you know, for the real important stuff. Keep it out of the house, because, like you say, we never know. And, that's pretty much it on that one. I use a couple of cloud-based services as well. Depending on the particular devices that you're using, there are different ones that normally when you buy a new device, you know, as we pretty much all do, you know, as the new stuff comes out, all the new bells and whistles, you know, you just got to have it when you're in this computer age that we live in. You know, Android comes with Google Drive and Dropbox. You know, you get different amounts of storage based on, you know, what type of item you buy normally. Typically on a new activation of a new PC or tablet, Dropbox will give you a free 50 or 100 gigabytes of storage to use and take advantage of, which, in, you know, in this day, it's not really a whole lot. But Carbonite is a really good one, and it's good that Steve touched on that one, because that is a reputable company that have been around and been in the cloud storage game before anybody knew what the cloud was, you know, other than a fluffy white thing in the sky. They've been around for years. They're very, very reputable. Chances are they're not going to go belly up anytime soon. They're deep rooted in Silicon Valley, and you know, they ain't going anywhere anytime soon. You really want to stay away from some of these little fly-by-night new guys on the block when it comes to you know, them offering large amounts of backup storage and whatnot, because you never know how long these guys are going to be around. So one like Carbonite is a great one, because there is a premium for it, but at the end of the day, pay a little bit in advance to having to pay a hell of a lot when you lose it all. So that's great advice. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. I made a note right under your snapshot guy also. Good information, guys. let me ask you, Steve, were you around when Doug out in California, N6NFF, was asking a question about what books are available for a blind person to understand, motivate, and get around computers better than it seems to be for him at the moment? And if so, would you have any suggestions? Daryl has already made some that were very, very good. Steve, go ahead.
I was not around for that discussion. My initial reaction is I would go to the nearest university. Almost every university has a division that specializes in ADA type things. And I'm sure that they have crossed the boundary into having the necessary documentation and tools for their students to be able to make the most efficient use of computers. So I would start there. If there's a university in town or close by, get them on the phone and try to pick their brain, because they certainly do it on a daily basis. KF5VH.
Good comment. And one that really makes sense. Thanks for that, Steve. You know, that just threw me off the podium here, because I had a conversation with Gary, RMO up there in Syracuse yesterday. And I heard, talking about universities, I heard something out of him that I just couldn't hardly believe, and it's in print on the internet. He was saying that his name, Gary Agnew, is the same as a soccer coach. Was it soccer? I don't know. Well, one of the games coaches, anyway, who held a master's degree from an Ontario university. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I have never heard of a master's degree for a coaching position. Have you, Steve, over?
Yeah. There's plenty of people with bachelor's dealing with physical education. And to separate yourself, you'd go to a master's or a PhD. I did a quick search on Gary Agnew, and the one that I like is Gary Agnew is a Canadian ice hockey coach. He's an assistant coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins of the NHL. KF5VH.
Yeah, okay. That's one I was looking at, too. What's coming up next in the universities? Tiddlywinks? Over.
I'm sure somewhere there is already a PE class for Tiddlywinks. We have one here locally for golf. There's even a practice putting green right outside the building where most health and PE courses are taught.
Isn't life grand? Hey, thanks, Steve. Thank you, Daryl. I'm going to start to try and wrap this. We're 51 minutes into the second hour. And I wanted to conclude on the subject, what would happen if we didn't have computers and internet and that kind of stuff that we're now facing today. So I searched it, and they came up with some interesting comments. One would be we would have cars, but they would not have computer-controlled fuel injection. Another was, we would have television, but not satellite, TV, DVD, 7.1 sound Dolby, etc. Another one was, we would have movies and characters and plots and stories, and Peter Jackson would still be making documentaries. I love that one. Hundreds of thousands of people would have rather dull jobs calculating paychecks, billing for services, accounting, and other tasks that are often done by a single person with a computer today. Let me buy a nickel. Now, I hope you're sitting down, Steve. Listen to this one. IT managers making $250,000 salaries would have to work for a living. Students would have to read their textbooks and do their homework by hand. You would use your phone more if you wanted to talk to people and not wait 2 to 5 days to get actual mail. Letters and essays would be typed on typewriters where typos are corrected by reading and using correction fluid or tape. Rearranging material would mean retyping the entire text. Reading books would entail reading books, not electronic copies of books. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Any comments on the latter, and we're going to wrap it. KY6V, over.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Now, you're the last one that I would have thought that would jump in there. Hi, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think the last one would be we would actually have books and magazines, non-electronic, and that means waiting for the copy to be mailed and having to read it all instead of hearing it written out.
Well, you know, the one that really grabbed me is that we'd have to start buying encyclopedias again, whether Canada or whoever, using the library again. You know, I grew up when that was all in vogue. When you were doing study work, that's what you had to do. And now, Rick, you could just sit in front of your computer and say, who was Confucius? And it tells you. Over.
Yeah, that's the thing, and we would have to wait for certain information. It was like I was, heard something the other night on as far as current things in the drugstores. You used to have to wait a week to 10 days for a prescription to be refilled. Now they can be done in 10 minutes.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. Is that... Well, you do it online, but does it have to come out of pharmacies out of the United States, or what?
Well, the prescriptions had to be written out. The kind of a thing that you brought it to the drugstore, and he had to call the doctor to confirm it. And then, in some cases, had to wait for the... He may not have had the... medicine in the store, and he had to get it ordered. But in some cases, actually, it shouldn't say a week to 10 days. It would take several days to get it. And, yeah, it was just a little bit longer time. Now it's like up to maybe 10 minutes. You know, they have everything right there, and they have everything on the computer, and they can just type it in and get a confirmation and have it so simple. But back then, they didn't have the computers to confirm the prescription. They had to call the doctor, and he may not have been available right at that moment, and they had to wait and see when they could get the prescription actually filled. All taking time. And some had to be mailed. That was the other one. And one GXP.
Yeah. Those were the days. Thanks, Rick. How long are you going to be disposed from the apartment? Just a short time, or you got a week or two to before you can get back? Over.
Well, they're talking possibly Monday or Tuesday. I'm hoping to get no later than Wednesday, but you know, it's just going to take time. One of the guys said something about possibly Wednesday was the day he was going to come in and work on the system. But I'm not really in that much of a hurry. I just said, well, I got... The other problem is my cable TV system is not working right, so I got Time Warner supposed to come in sometime Wednesday afternoon. I'm hoping to have everything restored in the apartment by Wednesday, but I may have to reschedule. It was supposed to be worked on today for the cable, but there was no way that they could do anything in there with the condition of the apartment, so hopefully by Wednesday I should be back to somewhat normal. That's the one nice thing about having the tablet and getting to another location for the Wi-Fi. Let me drop for a second. Yeah, that brings up a situation that really made me laugh was when I was on the internet, I was checking to see the user manual for the tablet I'm on, and to use it on a laptop, it requires a certain downloaded program, and my operating system didn't like that. It gave me a red flag to not use it to download that because it was a corrupted situation that it may cause other things to not work. However, I can get the same user manual done on the tablet. Apparently there's a part that's already built in, and it kind of made me think about some of those programs you go to download. They require a certain other portion added in or an app, and may not work very good with Windows 8. So I'm very cautious about that. N1PXP.
Yeah, well, just wait. Rick, you know, Daryl was talking about we're going to have Windows 10 coming out here shortly. And we will start this Chinese firing boat drill all over again. All right, well, good luck. I'm sorry you're going through all that problem. I didn't realize that you had Time Warner problems also. But it'll all happen for you, I'm sure. Anybody else for South Cars this evening? We've been talking about computers, basic type stuff, since 7 o'clock Eastern Time here tonight. We're now at 9 o'clock, so we've been in about 2 hours. We're going to close. Anybody else with any other comments? If so, call now, please. Okay, all's quiet on the Western Front. Kathy, be prepared to shut down your recorder. I'll take care of mine over here in just a moment. Good night, everybody. Hey, thanks for being here. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.SouthCars.com website. Your net control for this evening has been several. Primarily Gordon, who's speaking at the moment. That's KY6V, backed up by Jim, KV4QY. In the state of Georgia, we've had a bunch of great experts in the field of computers with us this evening, and I want to thank one and everyone for that. We're going to say 73s, and we will see you when we see you. KY6V, and the net is now clear.